Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
We all want to be successful at something we decide to do. You've decided to learn English. You've decided that learning English is important for you and it can help you live a better life. But there are a few non-negotiable things you need to know in order to succeed. These are called universal truths.
Whether you're a low intermediate, upper intermediate, or advanced speaker of English, keeping these truths in mind will help you take your English to the level you want.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Cassie from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
non-negotiable
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're journaling, decluttering your desk, or even
organizing stuff around the house.
So today, guys, I'm joined in the global studio, as always, by the one and only Thiago. Welcome. How's it going?
Hey, Cassie. I'm doing well. How have you been?
I've been very well, thank you, Thiago. I think I'm practicing, you know, with learning Portuguese, I feel like everything people say is tudo bem. So I'm just saying everything's okay. Everything's well. It's fine. No problem.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
So, Casa, you said a really cool word in the introduction today. You said non-negotiable, some non-negotiable truths. What is something non-negotiable?
So when something is non-negotiable, it's something that you will not compromise on. So for example, if you want to become healthy and fit, you might say that, you know, going to the gym thrice a week is non-negotiable. So which means basically that you will not compromise, you will not go less than three times a week.
Mm-hmm. Right. So something non-negotiable, you got to do that thing, right? There's no other way or no other option, right? You need to do it.
Yeah.
No room for negotiation, right? So today we're going to be talking about some non-negotiable truths about English learning, right? Things that you can't skip, right? You got to accept them, right?
Yeah.
As they are.
Exactly. So before we get into, you know, exactly what those non-negotiable points are, I thought that, you know, since I'm learning Portuguese, you know, you're a native Portuguese speaker and you've basically mastered English, I thought that it would be great if I share some of the pains that I'm facing currently as a Portuguese learner. And I thought that you could share some of these truths and, you know, maybe tell me how you managed to apply that to your English learning.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So the first pain point that I face as a learner is that, you know, especially when I started out, it's basically this feeling of feeling aimless, which means basically that I lack direction. I don't know where to start. I feel like, you know, should I sign up for a course? Should I buy a new textbook? Should I pay for a tutor? Is it the right tutor? You know, I feel like I'm lacking guidance. And I would say that this is a pain point that many learners face. What would you say is the first universal truth that applies to anyone who feels this way?
Yeah, I think the first one is start with what you have. You know, sometimes we wait until we get something that we think we need to start, you know, whatever it is we want to start. But, you know, just start with what you have. Like, you know, in my case, for example, when I started learning English 20 years ago, the only thing I had at that time was the course books from my friend that I borrowed, you know, and that's what I used to begin with, you know, to start. But, you know, sometimes you might feel like, oh, I need to pay for a tutor, or I need a course, I need this, I need that. But just, you know, look at what you have already, yeah, in your life. And, okay, how can I get started already, in your case, with Portuguese? Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, when I started, I was a bit hesitant to pay for a tutor because I thought, you know, what if I'm not really good at this? You know, how it's quite expensive. And how am I going to, what if I pay for a course and I end up giving up because I was already predicting that I might fail. So I was hesitant to pay money. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to utilize or make use of free online resources. So this was my starting point. I made use of every free resource I could find online. And I also tried to practice with some of my Brazilian students. So I took advantage of that opportunity that I had with Brazilian speakers to actually start learning vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's amazing because, you know, you already had Brazilian students.
Yeah.
Yeah, people who were native speakers of the language you're trying to learn. So, oh, maybe I can pick their brains, yeah?
Pick your brain. What does it mean to pick someone's brain?
Yeah, when somebody has a certain knowledge and you want to learn more about what that person knows, right? So you pick the person's brain when you ask a question like, hey, I mean, I know you know a lot about this. Can I pick your brain on this? Like, you know, can I ask you some questions about this topic that you are very knowledgeable about? So, yeah. But, you know, back to what I was saying, you know, if you are watching us here or listening to us, you probably have access to internet, right? So, you know, just go online nowadays and you're going to find a lot of things that you can use already to get started, yeah, with your English learning or development.
Yeah, I think, you know, this ties in very well with the real life way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's we say it all the time, yeah, own your English, own your life, right? Basically, taking responsibility for your learning, right? So starting with what you have is exactly that. You're not waiting, yeah, for until you get something else or have something else that you don't currently have, right? You just start with what you have. This is taking responsibility for your learning, right? And using what you have.
I love what you just said because my personal goal with, you know, learning Portuguese is that what I want to do is to be able to have a conversation in Portuguese without actually mm-hmm. relying on English. So I want to be able to, even if it's a simple conversation, I want to be able to have that conversation as naturally as possible without needing to think in English or without needing to translate at all. That's my personal goal.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's really cool because, you know, by starting with the goal, yeah, you know also how to direct your studies, right? Because, you know, for example, what kind of conversation would you like to have in Portuguese, right? How do you imagine this conversation unfolding? Is it an informal situation, an informal conversation? What would you talk about? Would you talk about your family, your hobbies, your free time activities? Because then, you know, if you can be specific, yeah, about the topics you want to cover, then you can, okay, I'm going to study about, you know, these topics, right?
If you're like most learners, then you probably get frustrated when you learn a new word, and then when it's time to speak, you've completely forgotten it. Now, I found that after I learn a new word, one of the best solutions to this is to use it as soon as possible. But what happens if you simply don't have somebody else to speak English with? Well, that's exactly why we created the Real Life app, which is the only place where anytime, anywhere you have an internet connection, you can simply press a button and instantly be connected to another English speaker in another part of the world to have a conversation and practice speaking together. So you will improve your listening skills, learn advanced words, and build confident, natural English. Also, you will have conversations every day with people from all around the world, discover other cultures, talk about your passions, and even be able to practice everything that you're learning with this lesson. So if you want to go from being a lost and insecure English learner to becoming a confident and natural English speaker, download the Real Life app for free right now by clicking the link on the description of this episode. Or you can search for Real Life English in the Apple app or Google Play Store.
That's a really awesome point you're making. And I think it brings us to the second universal truth, which is...
Oh, the second one is develop a system that fits your life.
So, yeah, with this, I mean, for me personally, I feel at times, and I'm sure other English learners feel this way, it's that it feels hard to fit studying into my daily routine. It's like I lose sight of my goal and it sort of feels like it's a chore. and it just sort of feels like something extra I need to do in my day. What advice do you have for this feeling?
Yeah, aside from tailoring it to your preferences and your goals, right? You know, that reminds me of a nice TED talk that I watched a few years ago. And in this talk, the speaker was talking about how to have work-life balance in your life. But one interesting point that he makes is, in order for you to accomplish that, you don't need dramatic upheaval in your life. In other words, you don't need big, crazy changes, you know, so that you can experience this balance. We can apply that point also to this situation here, yeah? You don't need to completely revolutionize your routine to accommodate your language studies, you know, your Portuguese studies, you know, by making small changes at very specific places. That's going to help you already, you know, to, you know, develop this system, yeah, this routine that is in accordance with your goals, yeah, of learning Portuguese. Yeah, so by, you know, small habits, yeah, small little things.
Exactly. I think a key word with this is commitment, you know, like doing something with, you know, doing it consistently, you know, having that kind of, you know, even if I'm just going to do the small thing, you know, I'm committed to reading once a day, or I'm committed to, you know, practicing my pronunciation once a day. You know, it doesn't have to be every day, but, you know, as much as you can possibly fit into your routine. Without it, I think that definitely helps with it feeling less like a chore and more like an activity that you enjoy doing. And I know, you know, you've mentioned previously things like, you know, watching TV shows, watching movies, and how you can use these things that are actually very fun to do in general in your free time. And you can use that to make it sort of part of your life so that it becomes, as, you know, we often say here, fun, natural, and convenient.
That's it.
So, yeah, I think this is definitely something to always keep in mind when you know, your study routine feels like it's becoming a burden. You know, it's feeling like it's heavy and you're like, oh, do I have to do this? That means you're doing something, there's a problem with your system. You have to start thinking about how you can adjust it, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. Yeah, it should be something pleasant for you, right? I mean, you know, I was talking to Ethan in another episode, yeah, because you know, I've recently started to take an online singing course, right? To improve my singing voice, right? And there's so much content in this course that, you know, I know is going to take me my whole life probably, you know, to, you know, go over everything and to practice everything correctly and, you know, without rushing, yeah? So I think it's also about giving yourself the time, you know, to learn this. Okay, I want to learn Portuguese, you say, right? Great. Give yourself time, yeah? I mean, give yourself a few years to work on this, right? You don't have to feel rushed. Oh, I got to learn it like for yesterday, you know? So, yeah, giving yourself time, yeah, to learn a new skill, yeah? This is very important. I guess people sometimes are, they want it too quickly, you know, like the results.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen like that.
This is very true. And I really do feel that it brings me to the third pain point that I want to share about my Portuguese learning, which is that I often feel like I feel overwhelmed at the thought of mm-hmm. what I don't know. I feel as though, you know, will I ever be able to learn everything I need to know to be fluent? And I think this is something many language learners feel and they can relate to. But I think it's really, what's really key is, you know, what you just shared, which is that, you know, you don't need to, you have time, you don't need to rush it. All you need to do is, what's the third universal truth?
All right, so the third point here is use the language in baby steps, right? If you look at everything you have to learn, you're going to get really overwhelmed, right? Like, oh my God, I have to learn so many things. But use the language in baby steps. Start small, start easy, and enjoy those baby steps, right? We call it the small wins, right? Celebrate your small wins. And Kansa, you were, you know, when we were preparing for this episode, you shared a very cool analogy, right? About a puzzle, right? Do you want to share that?
Yeah, so in a previous conversation I had with Ethan when we were discussing grammar, I shared with him this idea of, you know, learning being like a puzzle, a really big jigsaw puzzle with like, you know, 1,000+ pieces. And if it's all scattered on a table, you might not know where to start. Like, where's the corner piece? Where's the middle? What am I supposed to do here? But if you're an avid puzzle builder like myself, you will know that the trick is to, you know, obviously you look at the box, you realize, you know, look at the full picture of what you want to do. But in order to start, you need to start grouping the colors. You look, you put all the green pieces together, you put all the blue pieces, you know, maybe it's the grass is green and you know, the sky is blue and there's a girl with a red dress, and you put all those pieces together because you know what the final product should look like. So you start grouping the colors. So when you start building, you can put the corners and you can do it like that. So this is what we do with grammar. This is what we do with those things that, in my case, for example, I feel mostly overwhelmed by Portuguese grammar because I think it's extremely difficult. But it only seems that way because, you know, it's something new, and that's, it's normal for it to feel, you know, overwhelmingly difficult. But yeah, I would say this is the analogy. Start grouping things like irregular verbs, for example, instead of learning trying to learn every single irregular verb or every single form of conjugation all at once. Group it. Say, okay, I'm going to learn 15 irregular verbs today, and I'll learn 15 more tomorrow. And that means you've learned 30 so far in the last 2 days. So by grouping, it definitely narrows it down, doesn't it?
Yeah, I really love what you're saying here because, you know, it's about narrowing your focus down to just a few topics at a time. You're not trying to learn everything at once. And also categorizing, just like you categorize the pieces of the puzzle, yeah? This is exactly what I did when I was studying English grammar at the beginning, right? So first, I started with only the simple tenses, you know, present simple, past simple, future simple. That's it. My focus at that time was learning well those three tenses, and then I spent some time studying them and practicing them. Once I felt like, okay, I got this, then I moved on to the next group, yeah, or category of topics that I wanted to learn, which was the perfect tenses, let's say, yeah, present perfect, past perfect, future perfect, you know. So by grouping it like that and really taking it one step at a time, that's really useful. And at the very beginning, you know, when I started learning with old course books, right, I used to get a huge kick out of just, you know, copying the phrases from the course book on my notebook. I was just copying what I was reading, but that was a small win for me already. You know, I was excited already because, oh, look at that. I am writing in English. I am using this language that I'm trying to learn. This is so exciting. So it's something so simple and small, but, you know, it's important for you to find joy in those little moments, yeah? Because this is what keeps you going. Yeah. And then the cool thing is if you keep doing this consistently, as time passes, you will get better. It's inevitable. And then you're going to come to a point where, oh, look at that. I mean, I'm fluent nowadays. Yeah. But that didn't happen overnight. It was a series of small steps over time that contributed to that, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, I love what you said a little earlier as well, you know, just to remind the listeners as well. You mentioned like celebrating the small wins. And, you know, like it's not easy to, you know, stay motivated. But I think it's definitely something we should add, as learners of, as humans, we should add, you know, celebrating small wins, even in daily tasks. So I think especially, you know, with staying motivated as a language learner, I think celebrating small wins is definitely the way to go. Even if you just, you know, suddenly figured out how to conjugate certain verbs, or you figured out, you know, a little hack with, you listen to our podcast and you finally, you know, figured out how to do a particular grammar structure or figured out how it works. That's a victory. You're like, oh yeah, now I know how to use this. And you should be proud of yourself for the work you've put in.
Yeah. And, you know, nowadays we have so many more resources than we did in the past, you know. So we have websites and blogs and YouTube channels and podcasts and apps, right? And thinking about apps again, yeah, I can talk about the Real Life English app, for example, which is such a cool resource for learners nowadays, isn't it, Cassie?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, just the fact that it's absolutely free. Just blows my mind. You can immediately start learning. You can immediately start leveraging. I love that word you used. By the way, what does leveraging mean?
So when you leverage something, you use it to its full advantage. You take full advantage of that thing, you leverage it. So for example, nowadays we have all these resources online available. So it's important that you as a learner, you leverage those resources. You use them to the fullest.
Exactly, right. So I'm sure you guys have, you know, tried many different resources. You've tried leveraging different resources out there. But as I said, with the Real Life English app, right now, if you download it, you can start listening to these podcasts absolutely free, you know, with an interactive transcript that you can use to follow along. So you're not only practicing your listening skills and your reading skills, you're learning new vocabulary, you can practice pronunciation, you can speed it up or slow it down, whatever you prefer. And you can actually start building your vocabulary deck with our flashcards, which is absolutely amazing, right? And the best part is that you can practice your speaking for free with other English learners from around the world at the press of a button. I mean, how awesome is that, right? You can find the link to download the app in the description, as well as by searching Real Life English in your favorite app store. All right, so now it's time to actually shout out one of our awesome app users.
All right, so the shout out today goes to Lalu or Lalu. And Lalu says, first, I'm so glad to be able to use this app that I found all of a sudden when I was struggling to find a better way to learn English. It is a sophisticated app. Second, I want to thank the team for providing us with the useful tools that help me elevate my English skills effectively.
Thank you so much for that awesome review, Lalu. And if you guys out there would like us to shout you out, just head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. This will not only, you know, help us, but it will also help other people have fun learning with us. And if you haven't already done so, be like Lalu and download the app today. So now let's get to the fourth universal truth. So a pain point that I'd like to share related to this universal truth is that I often feel like I don't see progress as quickly as I'd like. So what I do is that I start to skip the basic steps and I start rushing to get ahead. So for example, I might skip the boring parts like, you know, learning conjugation. It's the nightmare I'm facing at the moment. So I want to skip that and I want to get to the fun parts, you know, like slang words or, you know, those types of things. So what advice do you have for someone like me? What is the truth I need to know about?
Yeah, the truth is that time is on your side, right? So I think we have already touched on this today. Allowing yourself to have enough time to learn this, right? Give yourself time, be patient, right? And I really like this phrase here. Yeah, your results are based on how much you put into it. So, you know, think about it like this, right? Like, okay, the more time I spend on this, the more time I spend studying it, practicing it and doing the work, right? The better results I will get. You know, that's pretty much how it works. So yeah, this idea that, you know, it's a midterm to long-term process. Yeah, it's not a short-term process. You know, yes, you're going to learn, you can learn some quick things in a short amount of time, but you know, I mean, you are learning a language, right? So, you know, that's going to take you, you know, some time. Yeah, midterm to long-term. And you mentioned about doing the boring stuff, right, Cassie, or skipping the boring stuff. Yeah, but there is boring stuff to be done, right? I mean, for example, yeah, going back to the singing course I'm taking, right? So I have to do some breathing exercises, you know, in the first part of the course that are really boring. You know, I don't want to do that. I want to learn other things. I want to learn how to sing high notes, for example. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, how to sing high notes or how to connect my chest voice with my head voice. You know, these are cooler topics for me to learn, right? But the breathing is the foundation. You know, if you have poor breathing, you're not going to sing well, You see, so there are some things also about English or Portuguese or any language you learn that they might be boring, right? But they are foundational, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are exceptions to certain rules. And Ethan and I spoke a little bit about this in episode 319, where we spoke about certain words or grammar that, you know, native speakers use incorrectly. And this is mainly because we know what the correct way is to use it, but we find it maybe amusing or funny to use it in the incorrect way. And I think that, you know, when you're learning a language and you're trying to, you want to get to that point where you're able to use the language in whatever way you wish to, then you can skip ahead. You know, once you get to a level where you understand the basics, you can skip ahead, you can bend the rules. And of course, this does sort of tie into the Picasso quote that we love here at Real Life English. You want to say it?
Let me see if I remember. Learn the rules like a pro so you can break them like an artist, right?
Exactly, right? So, yeah, I love that one. I think it's the point. And like knowing that, you know, time is on your side. For me personally, I like to think of my language learning as sort of a personal achievement. It's not for anyone. You know, if I become fluent, it's a reward. It's great for me. If I fail, no one else but me is affected. So I'm doing this for myself. And, you know, if it takes me 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, it's okay. I've done it for myself, so.
Exactly, that's it. Give yourself the years that you need to learn this.
So the final universal truth that we're going to talk about today, I don't exactly have a pain point related to it, but I think Chiago and I both have very strong feelings about this one. You know, in order to get to the next level of your language learning journey, you have to do this no matter what level you're at right now. You have to challenge yourself.
Yeah, this is particularly true if you have already been learning English or any other language for a while. You are, let's say, an upper intermediate learner already. You can communicate already. You can understand many things, but you go like, okay, how else can I see improvement, right? And then it's important at this point, especially to challenge yourself, you know, to get to the next level. Because, for example, movies and TV series are great, but you need to supplement them with more challenging materials at this point. If you are a B2 level speaker and you are just working with movies and TV series, I mean, that's not going to be enough for you. Yeah, you need to watch TED Talks, for example, or take a course on a denser topic that is in English, maybe a course on philosophy or a course on finances, on investments, but in English, you know? You know, topics that demand more language, that demand more vocabulary. Yeah, this is challenging yourself. Of course, you can challenge yourself also when you are at a lower level, but if you challenge yourself too much, then you might feel discouraged. But if you are already at that intermediate zone, the plateau that we call it, right? Yeah, definitely. I mean, consume denser, more challenging content.
Chiago, what does it mean when content is dense?
Yeah, it's more profound, yeah? I mean, you're not watching maybe a sitcom, yeah, that where the language that you're going to see there is people at the restaurant, for example, which is really basic stuff, right? Maybe you are watching a lecture on the stock market, you know, and how to invest your money.
If that interests you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so going back to what we have already discussed, right, Cassie, in the beginning, making it fun, natural, convenient, right? If you hate studying about finances or investments, don't do that. But, you know, pick a topic that you like. Let's say, oh, I love psychology, and watch a lecture on a psychology topic, for example, yeah?
I would think that, you know, if it's something that you enjoy in your native language, challenge yourself to become, you know, advanced in that kind of topic, having that kind of discussion in English as well. So I would say that the thing to do is to identify those areas that need improvement, identify the fear, and put together a sort of game plan, as we mentioned in the beginning. You know, having a plan always helps. And then find a safe place to practice. For example, if you want to do the IELTS exam or you want to, you know, be able to speak, as Chiago said, about the stock market, you know, you don't have to go out and speak to investors, or you don't have to immediately go out and, you know, start having those conversations with people whom you might feel intimidated speaking to. You could start, you know, chatting with a friend, start practicing with your tutor, you know, maybe read and write like Chiagu did, like in his early days where he was writing the sentences. Practice getting that vocabulary down. And yeah, I think it's great to challenge yourself in this way, whether you're, you know, a beginner like myself, you know, always push to get to the next level. That's the main point of this tip. You have to challenge yourself or else you'll be stuck in the same place forever. Right? And no one wants to do that.
That's it.
So guys, if you enjoyed today's episode, know that we are going to continue these video podcasts. And if you have any feedback or suggestions for us on how we can improve, or even suggestions for topics for the next episode, please don't hesitate to let us know. So stay tuned for next week's episode. 1, 2, 3.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.